We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 1, verses 41 through 44, and chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first and fifth chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." And then chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax collection station. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning. Now, I have never had anyone tell me they have a problem hearing what I'm saying, but if you do, please let me know. As Paris said, my name is Derek White, and I am honored to be here with you today, to be invited to talk about the hero's journey. Now, my first experience with the hero's journey came unknowingly to me in 1977. Does anybody know what happened in 1977? That's right. Star Wars was released in 1977. And later on, George Lucas, who once described himself as a Methodist, said that he got inspiration from Joseph Campbell, the man who wrote, The Hero of a Thousand Faces. And Joseph Campbell did a great job doing that. He did a lot of comparative mythology, a lot of comparative theology, but a lot of people still today are not familiar with the hero's journey. And what the hero's journey is, simply defined by Joseph Campbell, is a story where a hero ventures forth from the world of common day into a region of supernatural wonder. Fabulous forces are there encountered, and a decisive victory is won. The hero comes back from this mysterious adventure with the power to bestow boons on his fellow human beings. And that is a great example of the hero's journey. The hero's journey begins with the call to adventure. And that's where we're going to begin today. They always say begin at the beginning. It's the call to adventure. Now, my theme is joy, but I want to be very honest here. Not all stories begin with joy. Not all calls to adventure begin with joy, but I believe they can. And in the story, I went back and recently rewatched the first Star Wars movie in the order in which I saw them. You know, they came out 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then 7, 8, 9. But I watched, there was no 3, 4, 5 when I was coming up. It was 1, 2, and 3. So in watching Star Wars, A New Hope, I rewatched it. And Luke's journey did begin with joy. It began with excitement. He wanted to leave his home and go on an adventure. But his uncle told him, "No, I need you to stay and help with the harvest. I want you to stay behind and help us here at home." And Luke said, "I'll do it." And so Luke's burgeoning joy of wanting to go out on adventure was tamped down But then tragedy struck. His aunt and his uncle were killed by the empire. And then Luke begins his journey. And that is how our journeys can begin, though. Our journeys can begin with excitement and with joy. My journey through life began with times of joy. And it is those times of joy that we need to reflect upon, that we need to call upon. Joy is a great way to start an adventure. Joy and excitement will get us to take those first steps. But we also need joy to sustain us. We need joy to sustain us on this journey and on this adventure. Because when we begin this journey, things will happen. Dark things, difficult things, hard things. We see that in Luke Skywalker's journey. Hard things began to happen. He saw a planet explode, millions of voices crying out, billions of voices crying out in pain. How do we sustain ourselves on the joy, on the journey? How do we sustain that joy? What we see in our gospel reading from Levi, here is a man taking up taxes. Now, one of the things the ancient world, I'm sure you've heard this many times, has in common with the modern world, nobody likes a tax collector. In fact, I'll tell you a brief story. We had some property tax issues recently. We bought a home. I bought a condominium. And unfortunately, our attached garage was put on a different plot. So we actually have to pay separate taxes on our garage. It's not rolled into our mortgage. It's crazy, right? That's because of where we live. People used to sell the garages separately, which was really strange. And we tried to fix it. We couldn't. So I had to just pay the extra taxes. It was fine. It wasn't a lot of money. It was simply a garage. But I decided to see what would happen when I said this to the tax collector. I said to the tax collector, I said, property taxes go to pay for our schools. My wife is a public school teacher, so I'm happy to pay my taxes. You should have seen the blood drain out of their face. They did not expect to hear that. And honestly, people did not expect that from a man like Levi. They did not like the tax collectors in that day because the tax collectors weren't paid by the empire. They were paid from your taxes. So they could add on whatever they wanted to add on. That's how they became wealthy. If your taxes were $10, we'll say, in today's money, if he wanted to make them 30, he could pocket the other 20. But when Jesus came along, this man who was shunned by his people, this man who was shunned by his community, got up, left everything, and followed him for the joy that he found in Jesus. And then that joy led Matthew to call for a banquet in his home. Led for Levi to call for a great banquet in his home. And there was a large crowd of other tax collectors at the table with them. You see, when we're on this journey, when we're on this hero's journey of adventure, we are called to share our joy with others. Joy is not just meant for me and myself and I. Joy is meant for those around us. Joy is found at the table. This is what is going on here. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? We focus on that. But in the life of the church, I have found over the course of many years, we like to eat and drink. Do you have potlucks here? I've heard good things about potlucks in Minnesota. I've heard there's a lot. I've heard there are sometimes salads that aren't quite salads. I've never understood why you call a Jell-O salad a Jell-O salad. Salad should have green leafy vegetables, but that's different tastes. Jesus ate with people. And it's at the table we can find joy. It is at the table we can share joy. And when we're on a journey, we need to eat to sustain ourselves. Eating is a part of life. Eating is essential. Eating is what we do as human beings. It is necessary to live. But eating is also something we can enjoy. We enjoy good food. We enjoy different foods. And this is what Jesus did. He ate with people. And this is where we can find the joy to sustain us on our journey. I am very fortunate that I have had friends throughout my life that when I'm going through a difficult time, I've called them up and I've said, "Hey man, I'm having a really difficult situation right now." And my friend said, "Let's go meet at this restaurant. Let's sit down and let's talk." And before you know it, we're eating, we're laughing, and a little bit of the darkness that I encountered on my journey is washed away in the light of friendship and good food. This is what our journey is about. It is joy that answers the call of Jesus. Joy that answers the call of Jesus. And it is a joy that is shared. A joy that we do not keep to ourselves. Now, the hard part for me in all of this, and I won't go into any personal details, when you're talking about joy, is before I left, I told my wife, we had an honest conversation. My spouse and I have been married for over 30 years, and we have come to just have honest conversations with each other. And I said, "Jennifer, I'm going to be speaking on joy, but right now I don't have a lot of joy," and I listed some things that were going on. And then I realized that in sharing it with her, seeing her smile, hearing her encouragement, reminded me of what the anticipation of joy is about. And so I found another scripture. We didn't read this in our gospel reading, but it's a scripture from the book of Hebrews. And it says, "We look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Sometimes what really gets us through our journey and through the dark parts of our journey is the anticipation of the joy yet to come. And I began to think about that. And I began to think about, what does joyous anticipation look like? And I racked my brain. And I went back to that time again when I was 7 or 8 years old. And I remember Christmas. That was the biggest thing I could remember. As we get older, I don't have as much joy around Christmas, especially when you're a clergy person. That's the busy season, you know. You have Advent, you have all of that. And so when I was pastoring regularly, Christmas was work. But I went back to when I was a little kid. And I'm dating myself here because I've already said 1977, but there was a show called The Bionic Man. And I wanted, we could call them dolls back then. We didn't get in trouble as boys calling them dolls. I wanted that 12-inch doll of Lee Majors as the Bionic Man. And it was really, really cool. And it even had this eye in there where you could look through the back of his head, through his bionic eye. It was like a little mini telescope. It had skin you could roll down on his arm and pull out that chip. And I remember just saying, that's all I want for Christmas. And Christmas morning came, and it was there. It was there. And I remember that joy of anticipation of what is yet to come. Now, that compares in no way to what Jesus did. But it still amazes me that he could endure the suffering of the cross, disregarding its shame, for the joy that was set before him. And the writer of Hebrews did mean that the joy set before Jesus was to be at the right hand of God, to be with the Father. But I think when we take the whole of Scripture into account, the joy that Jesus was anticipating was not just being one with his Father, but it's being one with us. The joy of Jesus being with us. He is our Emmanuel, our God with us at all times, in all places, through the Holy Spirit. And it is that joy that sustained him. The joy of being with each and every one of you. And I believe that joy can sustain us on our journey. And that is the joy that I hope you will anticipate each day as God calls you into a new adventure. May this have been the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Dance to the light.